Welcome back to another episode of The Tea. We are coming at you, we as in me. Hi, it's Jess. I know that some people sometimes say that me and Anna's voices can sound really, really similar. And so I should probably, since we're doing audio only today, let you know that it's Jess. And I am recording a solo episode for you guys, which is kind of wild and feels a little weird considering that this is me talking to myself, but really I'm talking to you, but you're not here. And so I am just staring at my computer and I'm sitting on my couch. I don't have everything set up like I usually would. Obviously, no camera. And yeah, it feels a little different. I'm also trying to be careful to not talk too quietly, but I am recording this during my kids' quiet time. So whenever I was just doing a mic check a second ago, I realized like, wow, it sounds really quiet. But I think that it's because just being a mom, you just naturally start to talk more quiet whenever your kids are sleeping. So right now is quiet time. I have been kind of, I've already eaten to a little bit of the quiet time, just trying to get this set up. I've never actually done the audio only setup before. And so I wasn't exactly sure what to do. So I've kind of been like messing around with everything in here for about a half hour now. So it seems though that I was able to get it all set up and ready to go. And I am just so excited to sit here and chat with you guys. I think that in the past, I have mentioned that doing this podcast is just, it's such a like highlight of my week. And this summer, it's been tough because obviously like schedules are just crazy during the summer. Just a lot of like no routine, I guess. And we've kind of talked about that and harped about that for a few episodes about just not having the routine and kind of being ready for routine and all of that. And so, the last episode that you guys heard, we actually, you know, recorded that 2 weeks ago. And so, we haven't gotten to sit down and actually podcast in 2 weeks. And that really is sad for me because this is something that just brings me a lot of joy. And I think that I've also mentioned before that whenever I have whenever my therapist asked me, like, what is something that you do for fun? The first thing that popped into my head was the podcast. Obviously, like, we are trying to monetize this. Like, it's not going to be, you know, a just for fun thing forever. But obviously, we want it to stay fun even while we monetize. It's like almost the whole point. But anyways, all to say is that I'm so excited to sit down and record. I have had a little bit of something like on my heart that I've wanted to talk about anyways. So I thought, okay, I kind of was waiting all week to see, like, are we going to get to find a time to record? And then, because I felt like this particular subject was something that, like, I really felt like would be something that I would need to tackle on my own. And so, yeah, I guess here we are. It's tea day. It's the day that the tea does release. And we haven't gotten to record yet. And so I thought, okay, maybe I will take time during the girls' quiet time and just get it all out. A little audio diary, if you will. Not really, but I hope that maybe it can help someone else. But before that, I guess let's just do a little, you know, because to be real, like the subject that I want to talk about is just not super light and airy. And that's kind of what we do like to do here. Like we like to keep it light. We like to keep it chill. Like I think that everybody in the world has so many things going on and we already are just going through it in one way or another. And we want this to be a place that you can just listen to it and it just makes you feel good. Or it just feels like you are having a conversation with your sister or your best friend or whoever that person is that you just, they are just a ray of sunshine in your day. That's what we want to do for you. And so I guess really there's not a ton of update. This is back to school week. And well, I guess it's a huge week actually. I don't want to speak into, you know, Anna's POV. So whenever she's back next week, then she can give you the rundown of back to school. But it seems like my daughter actually doesn't start till tomorrow. So I, you know, 'twas the day before back to school for me, but, everybody else has been starting school. I've been seeing like everyone posting their kids and their, you know, back to school signs and such, which I'm over here like, I don't even have a sign for my kid for back to school. Yeah, I should probably like try to find one this afternoon. That's on the list of things to do. But if we don't, at the end of the day, she still is going to start school, and like sign or no sign, I can still take a photo of her and remember the day that she went back to school. But yeah, so this is the week of back to school. Anna did tell me a few weeks back that like she really didn't want to record until school started back. And I agree, like that makes so much sense because we're going to be getting back into routines. What's weird though about back to school is that it's Labor Day weekend. So like our kids are going to start back school and then there's a long weekend and then they go back again. And so like, that's kind of weird and doesn't put us in a routine. So I'm like, we're not even going to be in a routine until like mid-September at this point. But we're trying and that's kind of the plan on that. But I really would love for Anna to get to tell you about her kids going back to school. And just like her experiences. We got like the photos and the videos and everything and oh my gosh, it's just like, it is so crazy just seeing the kids getting older and just like how much they change in 1 year is insane. Like it really just blows my mind how quickly our kids change. And just the fact that like Kinley's in kindergarten, like I feel like she literally was just born. Like I feel like she was just born yesterday. That's crazy that she's in kindergarten. And then it like, then, and also makes me like a little sad because I'm like, oh my gosh, like my daughter's going to be starting kindergarten next year. And like, it just feels like it's not time for that yet. And it feels like our kids are just babies. And so speaking of babies, my youngest baby, she, you know, I have a 1-year-old, everyone knows that. And oh my gosh, we have just had a little bit of trauma this week. And what is the craziest part of all of it and makes me feel like the worst mom in the world is that I have no idea how this happened. And like, I am just not a neglectful mother. Like, I definitely have chilled out a little bit more since having Noah because it's just hard to be like in two places at once, where like with Ivy, like I definitely was a little bit more of a helicopter mom and I just would stay on her like all the time and just see what she was doing all the time. And, you know, like once you have two, like if you're in another room and something happens, like one falls or whatever, like, yes, like you're rushing to go see what has happened, but there is more than one person to check on at a time. So I don't really know how this happened, but basically I didn't notice until yesterday. And the only thing that I can think of is that there was a moment that I went and got in the shower after dinner, not yesterday, but the day before. And something happened during that time that I was in the shower and the girls were dancing in the kitchen and like Caleb was like doing the dishes or something, cleaning up dinner or something. And Noah had like fallen, which is just like kind of on brand for toddlers. Like they fall all the time. And she had fallen down and I didn't know any of this had happened because I was in the shower. And if you know, you know, like I was taking a full shower. Like I was washing my hair and everything. So I was in there for a hot minute. So by the time that I got out of the shower, Noah was going to bed and she was in the crib. And so I like, you know, went like got my jammies on and everything. And I heard Noah crying in there. And so I went in there and I was like, well, I'll rock her for a little bit. But like at that point she had a passy in her mouth. So like I wasn't in her room was dark. So I wasn't like really looking at what was going on or anything. So then the next day, get up and we're in Ivy's room and we're all playing and we're all like playing Barbies and we're playing baby and like Ivy's brushing my hair, you know, whatever. We're doing all the things that girl moms do. And I noticed that like Noah doesn't look right. Like something doesn't look right about her, but like I couldn't figure it out. I could not figure out what it was. And so then I just kind of kept going and even like during this time that I was trying to figure that out, Ivy took a picture of me and Noah on my phone and I looked at the photo and I was like, something looks different about Noah, but I could not figure it out. Okay. So then I go and I make the girls some lunch and we all sit down and we're eating lunch and we're chit chatting and Noah, like she is so like I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T, you know what that means. She's independent and she does not want you to feed her. So girly is eating her mac and cheese. And I look over there and I was like, something's off. Like, what is it? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's her teeth. Like something about her teeth does not look right. So then I'm like, Noah, can you cheese for mommy? And she like does her cute little cheese and like I lift up her lip because her top lip kind of covers like that area. Anyways, she's a baby. She has baby teeth. They're very, very small. Anyways, her two front teeth are like both of them. Half of her tooth is missing on both sides. And I was like, wait a minute. What has happened to you, my child? So I immediately call Caleb. I'm like, what happened while I was in the shower last night? Did Noah fall? Like, did something happen? And he was like, yeah, Noah did fall. I was like, did she fall on her face? And he was like, she did fall on her face and she did cry and she was upset, but she didn't have any blood, you know, like, it was just, she was really upset, like, when she fell. And I was like, okay, were her teeth cracked? ? And he was like, not that I noticed. Why are her teeth cracked? And I was like, dude, her teeth are, like, basically gone. Like, where did her teeth go? What happened here? What happened while mama was washing her hair? And so, anyways, all's to say, I hung up the phone with him. I immediately call the dentist. I feel so stupid because I can't really tell them like this is what actually happened, which then I feel like just makes me look like so incompetent. Like it makes me just, I felt like the worst. Like in that moment, I was like, I'm the worst mom. I cannot believe that this happened under my care. Like what the heck? And so, anyways, and the girl on the phone was like literally so kind, so sweet. Like she could hear in my voice that I was like so upset. And anyways, so we took her to the dentist today and there are options, but like my baby's teeth are never going to be the same and she's only a year old. And that just makes me so sad. Like her baby teeth. I mean, they did say, here's the bright side. Let's find the silver lining, shall we? The silver lining is that there is no nerve damage that they can see. So I guess you could probably usually see that right away. There is no nerve damage. So that's really good news for us. But her teeth are indeed chipped. And also like how they're chipped and stuff like that, like that makes, it's her front teeth. It's her literal front teeth. And so it will be really sensitive, like for her to eat and everything like that. And then also like once there's already trauma caused to the tooth, like it can break and it makes the tooth a lot more brittle. So you have to do something to kind of fix it. But with her being so young, I mean, have you ever taken your 18-month to the dentist? I'm just going to let you know, like, it's not pretty. it's torture for them. So he was kind of just giving me options of what to do. And like in the long run, we're going to have to do like a crown or like a little cap thing, like over the teeth. And they can do that when they're awake, but it's like, how steel is she going to be? That's kind of the big question. So we may have to wait a little while, to do that. And in the meantime, have to do kind of like more of like a Band-Aid technique that he kind of told me about. Either way, this was not on my bingo card for the week. It was not on my bingo card for the year. But that's okay. What I just kept telling myself is that like, it could be so much worse. I mean, I see so many people and it like breaks my heart, even just like here locally, just their kids just going through so many things. Like their kids are like in and out of the hospital or like battling cancer or anything. Like it's just her teeth. Like it's okay. So that's what I keep telling myself. I guess what is hard is that like, I don't know how it happened. That's like really bothering me. And then the other part is that like, one day, like she woke up and her teeth were not what they were the day before. And that makes me really sad because I'm like, did I take enough pictures of her teeth like that? I know it sounds so dumb, but like it really just hurts my spirit. So yeah, I'll say that's kind of what's going on today and this week for us. And yeah, Abby starts school tomorrow. So we'll be getting back into that routine. But then technically back out of the routine because then the weekend is here. It's Labor Day weekend. I think we do have some plans for fun in the sun. So I don't know exactly what that's going to entail, but excited for whatever is to come. Oh my gosh. And I have news. I have big, big news. And my therapist is going to be really proud of me for this because she had been telling me that I needed to do this. But I had a weekend with my husband last weekend. Where did we go, you ask? We didn't go anywhere. We stayed at our house and our kids left and went and stayed with Caleb's parents. And they had a great time and we had a great time. And it was just like so funny because you really don't realize until your kids are not in your house, like just how much you really don't chill in your house. Like we do not just chill in the house because I mean, like, for example, right now I'm sitting here on my couch and to the right of me is a like unicorn stuffy and like a sippy cup. And like, I'm looking into my laundry room and I can see like the laundry that I need to do. And on the floor, there's like a random shoe. And there's just like, honestly, I'm in the cleanest room in my house. This is why I chose to sit in here and podcast because it's the cleanest room in my house right now. But yeah, I cleaned my house and then they were not here. And so my house stayed clean. And I was like, let's just stay in our clean house, shall we? And we did. And it was funny. And we just like stayed up and we just like, we watched TV and we like ate dinner on the couch and just, we're just, it was like we were 19 again. So funny. And then like, I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, yeah, I was just like, I just basically was on a honeymoon, except I was at the Cheesecake Factory. So whenever the Cheesecake Factory also feels like Jamaica, like it's probably been a while since you've been alone with your husband, you know? So that was really, really, really good for us. And I'm really proud of myself for allowing other people to take care of my kids. Because that's really hard for me. And, yeah, I don't know why it is, but it is, and it's getting better though. And so that kind of leads me into what I want to talk about today. Speaking of, it's getting better. Because it is getting better. And what I mean by it is me. And you're probably like, what do you mean? I mean, I've kind of like very briefly hinted on this podcast that I've kind of been on a journey. Because like Anna also talks about that she's also been on a journey. We have both been on mental health journeys. And like, I almost kind of hate to say it like that because I feel like it's such a buzzy thing to say. Like, I feel like now more than ever, we're talking about mental health. And I think that is so great. But I do think that, like, it can be a little bit of a buzzword. And that, not that we're over talking about it. Maybe we are. Maybe we are over talking about it. Like, maybe we are putting too much weight on that. I don't know. But I mean, also, it's like not lost on any of us that, you know, our parents' generation and their parents' generation, we're not talking about mental health, and we're not talking about, you know, things that they were experiencing and going through. And they were just kind of like putting their heads down and going through whatever that thing was and just kind of handling it. Like, I don't know many people that talk about, you know, their parents being in therapy or whatever. And I think that our generation is really changing that for the future of our, the next generations, and even like our children, and then hopefully like our children's children, because, you know, I obviously like want my kids to see the best of me, but I also don't think that like my kids need to see that like I'm okay all the time. And it's important that like they know that, in my opinion. I think that there are some things that like are not rated for our children, and they don't need to carry the weight of some things. And so that's what therapy is for. And that's what like community is for, and talking to, you know, your adult friends, your sister, whoever it is, your husband, like about those things. Like, your kid doesn't need to know everything, but also like my kid doesn't need to know that I'm perfect, because I'm not perfect. And like, no one needs to feel that pressure that they should be perfect. So to kind of circle around, I want to talk about antidepressants. Yeah, I want to talk about it. So let's talk about that. where to start with antidepressant talk. So I guess I'll just kind of talk about my story first and kind of lead into where that's brought me. But something that I've kind of learned about myself really over just the past several months is that I believe that a lot of what I go through mentally, or just my mental health in general, is very hormonal. And I do want to see like a hormone doctor for that. I haven't done that yet. But my sister did, and she could really speak into her experience on that. But she had a really, really positive experience, because a lot of times whenever we go to, you know, our OB, they are not testing us for, I guess, more specific things that do affect our mental health and affect, like our anxiety and affect our depression. And no one's really talking about that. But the reason that I speculate that a lot of mine comes from my hormones and things that are surrounded like with my hormones, I think there's a lot of things that go into it. Obviously, it's not just like a one thing, but what brought my attention to that was that, like during both of my pregnancies, I experienced, like, I was very depressed during both of my pregnancies. And then it was like, I would have the baby and I would kind of like come up for air. Like, it was like, okay, I feel better now that this baby is out of me, and I would feel better, which with Ivy, it was different. Like, I had her in 2020, I had her like right when COVID was starting, and that was just a different time to have a baby anyways. I also did not live anywhere near my family. We lived in Texas at the time, and that was a different experience. We didn't know enough about COVID at the time, and that was whenever like everything was shutting down. So like, it was the big thing about like, if you're flying, like you need to do this, that, and three other things. And like, just, we had to make the call, which I wish on no one ever to have to make the phone call to your family that they cannot come whenever you have your baby. Like, that is a really tough place to be. But also at that same time, I was so anxious about, mostly I was anxious about me getting sick and dying. because we didn't know enough about it at the time. And now I look back and I'm like, I would have been okay if I would have gotten sick, but I was just so afraid of like being, you had heard all these stories of like moms being separated from their babies because the mom tested positive for COVID and then they had to be separated. I just was like, oh my God, what if they take my baby away from me? Like there were so many things going through my mind that I couldn't even really think about. Oh, like my mom and dad are not going to be here. And like my in-laws are not going to be here and no one's going to be able to visit. Like I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking about, oh my God, don't separate me from my baby. And so that led me into just so much anxiety. And I just had so much anxiety about me dying or Ivy dying. Those were like the two things that brought me the most anxiety. And I just like all the time, like I had such a hard time actually putting her in her crib. Like she did sleep in a bassinet, but like whenever she was growing out of that and it was really time to kind of move on from that and get her in a crib, like I just kept, like I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking that she was going to die. And I would just go in there and check on her and make sure that she was okay. And every time she was okay, like we did everything right that like she wasn't going to die, but like my brain just was telling me all of these crazy things. And so I was just praying over this anxiety and just praying for it to go away. And also like at the time I was a worship leader at the church that we had helped start. So my husband and I were worship pastors of this church and we weren't able to meet in person because it was in Mexico. And so we were, which at that point, Mexico or United States, no churches were meeting anyways because COVID had shut everybody down. So we were recording, from home and all of that. And, so all to say is that like, I really was pouring a lot like into, how am I trying to say this? What I'm trying to say, because the people that I'm speaking to on this, I know I'm speaking to a lot of people right now, but whenever I'm really trying to tell you my point of view, it's not even necessarily Christians, but like for me, something like this, like in like talking about antidepressants for me, like in my mind has always kind of been very like much a last resort type thing. And so that I understand and I'm fully aware that our country is completely over medicated. And I think that our country, like there's so many people that are just misdiagnosed with things and are mismedicated. And just there are a lot of people out there that are just trying to like numb the pain of something or whatever it is. And so it is not lost on me that like we live in a country that is completely over-medicated. And so, you know, when I was kind of walking through this time of this just like really, really crippling anxiety, I never once thought like I should be on medication, which looking back now is so crazy because it was crippling me. Like it truly was just so overbearing. And, you know, I was like, okay, like maybe it's just like postpartum anxiety. And it was just kind of like, I don't know. I felt like, okay, maybe it'll get better. And then it just wasn't, I'll also say it wasn't getting better. And I was just like worshiping and I was praying and I was reading my Bible and I was just trying to just like, I was literally just pleading to God for healing over this anxiety. And just like, I just wanted God to heal me so bad. And so I will say that like once, it's kind of funny. I mean, I think that like, when I think about it, and honestly, it wasn't really until this moment that I'm sitting here processing it and talking about it. But, you know, everything leads to the next thing. And that is just truth. And it got to the point where it was like, well, I will say, like, I really feel like with like Algamas, like the church plan, everything. Like, I feel like we did get to a place where we had felt like we had kind of done what we had set out to do, and that it was really time to like turn over that leadership to the people that we had trained to do it. And it really was that time, you know? And so at this point, our daughter is 9 months old and, you know, we're finally in a place where we're crossing the border and like we're doing more now and we can, you know, get back to it in a more normal way, in a different way, but in a more normal way. And I felt like there, and I've actually never spoke about this. This is crazy. I felt like during my pregnancy, God was preparing me in a sense, for what was going to come next, even though like we really didn't know what was going to come next. But like, I felt like there was this preparation time that was happening that I wasn't really talking to a whole lot of people about. I probably did talk to my sister about it, probably more than anybody. And there was this time of just like preparation, and we got to a place when Ivy was about like 8-9 months old that Caleb and I were kind of looking at each other like we were these shells of a human, both of us. We both were just like, we're not in there. Like, where are we? Like, we're unwell. Like, we're not okay. And I think that it's time to make a change. We have like done more than enough of what we had set out to do here in Mexico. Like, I'm so proud of what we did. And it's just so amazing to look now, because exactly what was supposed to happen as we left, which was that the people that we trained to do the job that we were doing started doing that job, and they are doing an amazing job. And it's like, because that happened, then that worship team was able to grow and flourish and develop. It was like we were holding it back in a way. Like, once we got out of the way, then like God was able to do what was supposed to happen. And so that makes me so happy and so proud that like we did what we were supposed to do. We completed it. And now it's like flourishing and growing and is like so much better and just so much more than whenever we were there. And so when we decide that we're going to make a big change, we decide that we're going to move back to North Carolina, and we decide that we're going to come back to my hometown, which was also kind of crazy because I never thought in a million years that I would come back to my hometown, but we decided that's what we were going to do. I really, really wanted to be close to my sister. That was probably the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, like, I want to be by my parents too, but I really wanted to be by my sister. And my niece and my oldest daughter are 9 months apart, and I wanted them to get to be together and just like have this time together and just all the things. So I wanted them to have that relationship. So we decided to come back. We have no real plan. The Lord gives Caleb a job. And this was in November. So like very end of October, the first week we were here, it was Halloween. So end of October, first November, I promise you, I'm going to get back to antidepressants. Okay. But I just feel like I have to kind of lay the groundwork a little bit, and maybe I don't, but I feel like I do. We move back here, November, Caleb, starts his new job. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I don't have a job. Like, I'm staying home with my daughter, which I'm so excited about, but like, we definitely are going to need another income. And fun fact about me, which some of you know and a lot of you don't, but I did hair for several years, like a really long time. I thought that it was going to be my like end all be all, that I was going to do hair for the rest of my life. I had always wanted to do hair. Like, I was living my dream as a hairstylist, and I left doing hair like at the height when I was making the most money, had more opportunity coming my way, I left doing hair to go be a missionary. And obviously now we're here and I have my baby during that time. So when we come back, I'm like, do I go back to doing hair? What does childcare look like? I don't really want to put her in daycare. Like, I'm kind of navigating this new life that we're in. And I did try to go back into doing like hair in a salon and all that. And it just was not working because like Caleb was not getting home when I thought he would be home. And then I didn't really have like the childcare help that I really needed. And so that wasn't working. And so we get through November, we get through December, and I am like looking at our bank accounts. By the way, don't look at your bank account around Christmas. Like, your bank account at Christmas time is none of your business. Like, just don't look at it. But I did. And we were so not good. And I was like, okay, we've got to do something. And we had a camera. This also has nothing to do with antidepressants. And also, for whatever reason, I'm telling you anyways, but we had a camera, and the reason we had the camera was because my husband had started the photography business in Texas, and he wasn't using it. He was too busy working the job that he had, and I just kind of felt this like press on my spirit of like, use what you have. Like, I felt like God was saying, like, what do you have that you can use? And like, obviously the first thing that came to my mind before the camera would have been like hair, but then that wasn't working. I was like, that's not going to work. I don't think, like, I don't see how to make that work. And then it's like, okay, what about photography? Like, can I be a photographer? Like, what are the odds I could be a photographer? ? And so I just kind of like look up at Caleb and I'm like, if I could talk a couple of people into me taking their photos, would you teach me how to use this camera? And he's like, 1000%. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. And right then I messaged 3 different people. I messaged a family, I messaged a couple, and there was another family that I was like, hey, I don't know how to do this, but I want to know how to do this. Could I take your photos? But like, this also is going to be like, my husband's coming and he's going to teach me how to do it. And they were so down, and the sessions actually turned out really great. And that started me into photography, yada, yada, yada. Here we are. Now I'm still a photographer 4 years later, and the business took off and has just like flourished into something that honestly, only God could do. And so I'm just so thankful for that. But let's get back to the subject at hand. But that kind of like catches you up that we did come back to North Carolina. And through all of this, like, yes, I think that your life, you know, everybody's life has these like ups and downs, and just highs and lows and highs and lows. But I felt like I quit nursing Avi around 10 months, and I did kind of feel like I was starting to feel a little bit more normal. And then around 18 months, I left Avi for the first time to go out of town, and she spent the night away from me, and I started to feel a little bit better, and things would get better. But I always had that little bit of just like on edgeness, that like anxiety that was just kind of like holding me back from being fully myself, or really just being able to fully live, you know? And so anyways, we move forward and I get pregnant with Noah, and I get really, really depressed. And just like, just to be really transparent, I can kind of like tell you a little bit what that was like, but basically, like, I got really, really sad. And there were just moments where I started to kind of just like tuck myself away, like into the bathroom so nobody could see me. And there was just like one night that it just got so bad, like in my mind. And just, I was so sad. And I just felt like, oh, dude, this is so dark. But like, I just felt like everyone deserves better. Like, Avi deserves a better mom, and like Caleb deserves a better wife, and like just, I'm just like this huge problem, and like I hate like everything about like just so many dark, dark places that my brain was taking me. And I had a doctor appointment already scheduled the next day with my OB. And so he was like, you really need to talk to your doctor about this. Like, you really need to like let her know. And so I let her know how I was feeling and like where my mind was at. And she was like, she had suggested to put me on, I don't remember which one it was, but she had suggested to put me on an antidepressant. And she was like, look, you don't have to. I was like, I've never been on one. I feel weird taking a new medication being pregnant. Like, I don't know. And she's like, I promise you, like, this is very safe. Like, you can do, like, it's okay. And she was like, but here's the thing. Like, maybe she like gave me some different things to be doing to try to kind of get myself out of this like tailspin that I was in. And she was like, I'm going to write you the prescription. You can go and get it filled. And if you decide you don't want to take it, then great. Like, you don't have to take it. And I was like, okay. I'm going to try to just like self-manage this. And I did get the prescription filled, and I decided not to take the medicine. And I'll tell you why I decided not to take the medicine. For me, I kind of felt like I was like admitting that something was wrong with me. And that's really scary to kind of like have to say something's not right. I feel like that's really hard. I don't know if it's hard for everyone, but it's really hard for me to kind of admit that, okay, I can't do this by myself. And then that also goes into and back to that, like, yes, technically, like, I hadn't been doing this by myself because I really had just been praying over this situation for several years and just really trying to give it to God and just really trying and trusting the Lord with that, like, He can heal me, and that like He is the great physician. And by the way, He is. And this story will end with Jesus heals, because that is the case. And I just kind of felt like if I like took this medicine, then that was me not having enough faith in God, and that I was just giving up basically. And so I decided not to, and I decided to just kind of like self-manage and do my own things. And you know what? It got a little bit better with doing some of those things, getting outside, drinking more water, touching grass, whatever. Like, sure, go on a date with your husband or do whatever it is that you feel like you need to do that's like quote unquote self-care or helping yourself. I did that. Okay. And I still, you know, had that feeling. So I give birth, and same thing. I feel really, really, really good. And that was also from the Lord, that I really didn't have any postpartum anxiety with Noah. Like, I wasn't initially, like, I never had that feeling like I had with Avi that was like, oh my God, like, she's going to die, I'm going to die, any of this. And I really know that like God was protecting me in that way, because God had already seen what was going to happen before I knew what was going to happen. And when my daughter was 3 weeks old, and on my other daughter's third birthday, we found out that my husband had cancer, and he was spiraling. as anyone would. We, neither one of us were like, okay, we're going to walk into this appointment and this is happening. We didn't know that that was going to happen when he went into that appointment. I mean, obviously he was going in for a certain reason, but I think that we both just were like so naive and oblivious to that was going to be what they were going to tell us. And so we find out that he has cancer, and still yet, like, I just had this calmness over me and just like such a peace over me. And that was from God, because that is so not my normal, like, response. It's not my normal, like, first place to go. And so the fact that I was so calm, was really miraculous, and I really can't explain it to you. And all's to say, he's okay now, and we're on the up and up from that. But I don't know if it was kind of like my body's response to just trying to be really, really strong during that time and just trying to be like the peaceful one and kind of like trying to carry that weight. But once everything kind of was like leveling back out and getting better, like, I just was crumbling, just really crumbling. And I don't know how to else to put it, but like, it just was feeling like I once again was like back to being like a shell of a human, and just kind of like walking around almost like I was looking like I could see myself like from the outside of me, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't know if that's going to make any sense or resonate with anyone, but that was how I was feeling. And just almost kind of like this dark cloud just like looming over me at all times. I just could not shake and not get off of me, and like could not take it off, and would just try to get better and try to get better and just try to like touch grass and try to take deep breaths and keep praying, keep worshiping, keep reading my Bible, just keep doing these things. And like, your girl was being prayed over and still is being prayed over and just like anointed, you know, with oil and all these things. And it was like, it just wasn't getting better. And it would really, and I've talked about this before with PMDD, is something that I do really feel like that I have, but it really, really, really would drop during that time of like the week before my period. Just, I would just get so low, and I would come back up out of it, but never fully, because it was just like, it was so, so dark. And it was like, how do I get back up out of this? I'm not getting back up. Like, I couldn't get back to like a normal feeling. And, so I kind of came to the end of my road. The first thing that I did was contact a therapist. I was like, I've got to talk to somebody. Like, I just don't know what to do. And I think that I almost just wanted my therapist to be like, you're crazy. Like, I don't know. Like, I was feeling so insane in my head. Like, I've got to talk to someone. And so I went to therapy, and that kind of like led into, this is kind of what's crazy, and this will circle into like everything happens for a reason. And that even through like when we get to the end of the story, that I believe that Jesus heals and that God is in control and that God has already seen what happens next. And the only thing that we can do outside of, obviously we can pray for healing, but something that like we also should be praying for is wisdom, because God can give us the wisdom of what to do next. But I think that like I was so hardcore being like, heal me, take it away, take it away, take it away, instead of being like, tell me what to do next. What's going to work? And so instead of doing that, I actually felt a lump in my boob. Wow, I'm getting really deep today. So now that you know everything about me, you're welcome. But I felt a lump in my boob, and I first was like, I'm crazy, because I already was like, I am crazy. But I felt this lump and I was like, something is weird about this. So I called my OB and I was like, hey girl, I have felt this lump. And they were like, okay. And I'm assuming this has never happened to me, but with stuff like that, like they kind of want to get you in as soon as possible. And so, I had scheduled an appointment to go get the lump checked out, and I wasn't going to get to see my regular doctor, but they just like wanted to get me in to go ahead and get it looked at. So I was like, okay, great. So I go to the appointment, and as I'm talking to the nurse, you know, she's kind of just like going over my chart or whatever. And I was like, can you just put in the notes that the next time that I'm here, which would have been in September, I want to talk to my doctor about my mental health. And I kind of laughed like that. And she was like, okay. Yeah. She was like, well, can we talk about it right now? Like, what's going on? And so I just kind of started explaining to her a little bit about like what I felt like was happening, and like how I had done a little bit of research on PMDD, and that I kind of felt like that was something that I was struggling with. And I just kind of went over just a very brief synopsis of like what had been happening with me. And she was like, okay, cool. Well, let me go have a quick chat out here and I'll be right back. And so she goes out and she's like, so she's okay to talk to you today about that. If that's something that you would like to discuss with her, but if you want to wait, you can. I was like, you know what? No, let's go ahead and talk about it. And so this appointment that was not even supposed to be about my mental health, we talked about my mental health. And so basically, if you've ever had to do this before, I had to fill out like the mental health charts or whatever, where it like asks you all the questions about kind of like what you've been feeling, what you've been experiencing and stuff like that. And so she comes back in, and like, by the way, my heart goes out to all of you that have ever had to fill that chart out, because it is so heart-wrenching to answer some of those questions truthfully. Because I think that like a lot of times, and I know for me, like I just have not been honest with myself for a really long time. And so like that was really difficult to have to read these questions and really be honest about how I really felt. And so I answered the questions. She was like, okay, let's talk about it. So we talk about it, and she was like, okay, I want to put you on, and I don't even, it was just a certain medication. She was like, I want to put you on this medication, whatever, who cares? I'll tell you. She was like, let's try Lexapro. And I was like, okay, tell me more. And so she tells me about it, and she was like, you know, let's try it. It's a really low dose. Let's just see what happens. And by the time that you come back for like your next appointment, you'll have, you know, been on the medicine for a couple months, and we'll be able to really decide like if this is something for you. And I was like, okay. And I walked away from that appointment just like struggling with two things. I was battling feeling defeated, because this was not the first time that someone had recommended that I should be on a medicine. This was the third time that I had been recommended. And I was kind of feeling defeated, but then also at the same time, I was feeling hopeful for the first time in a long time. And so I decided to go ahead and start it. And I was really, really sick. I'm not going to lie. I was really sick for the first week. Really the first like 7 or 8 days, I was pretty sick. Instead of going up in my dose, I kind of stayed the same for the next week. Because I called my doctor. I was like, yo, I'm sick. Like, this ain't going to work. And they're like, okay, let's, you know, reroute. And like, if you're familiar, like you would know, like they start you on a dose and they'll kind of like bump you up a little at a time. And so they're like, just stay where you're at. Just keep doing that. I did that for another week. And then I bumped up and I didn't have like any more sickness. And anyways, at this point, I think I'm like coming up on 6 weeks, maybe probably about 6 weeks, maybe a little bit more. Maybe a little longer than 6 weeks. Anyways, all to say is that I am a different girl. And what I mean by different is I'm myself. And it's kind of crazy because, like, I was talking to my therapist about this. Because when I saw her, because she's kind of been here, she has been there through the whole process of like week by week, because as I was getting on the meds, we started meeting every week. And so she was able to kind of say like, okay, how are you feeling this week? How are you feeling this week? And I saw her last week and she was like, how are you feeling? And I was like, I feel so good. She was like, okay, like tell me more. And I'm like, no, like I feel so good. And I don't even like, I want to feel like this forever. And I was like, are people just walking around feeling like this? Like, and then on the other hand, are people walking around feeling the way that I felt before because they're like too afraid to kind of go that route? Or maybe they feel like, oh, like if I do this, like I'm not trusting in God, or I'm not having enough faith. Like that's how I was feeling. I want to tell that person that that's not true. And that the thing is that wherever you're at, like the place that you're at, Jesus does heal. And it may not be in the way that you thought that it would happen. And it may not be just like it's taken from you. Maybe there are steps that will happen to get you to that healing. But I, for the first time in a really long time, am experiencing healing in my life. And I just think that we all deserve that healing. And so whatever that looks like for you, you deserve that healing. And that Jesus will do that for you. And it may, and I want you to hear me in that. Like, it may not be the exact same way for you that it has been for me. But just kind of like knowing the stigma around, you know, these medications and even just like medical care in general. I mean, I think there's a stigma a little bit around therapy. Like, you tell somebody that you're in therapy and they're like, ooh, what's wrong with you? And you're like, a lot. But anyways, all to say, that's kind of it. I really don't even know how to wrap. My dog just like ran in the door and it kind of like threw me off of what I was thinking. But that's my story about antidepressants. And I'm really hopeful and I'm really excited for like what's to come in my life. I just feel like overall, like everything is going to get better. And I feel like I'm going to continue to get better and just kind of getting to feel like myself again. It just, I can't even explain it. Like, it is the greatest feeling in the world. And for my kids to get to like experience the best me, and for my husband to get to experience me again. Like, we've been together a really long time. I mean, he's seen me through so many different seasons of my life. And I think that like, he's been like, I can see the difference in you. Like, and he was the first one to tell me, like back whenever I had Avi, he was the first one to say, you're not taking any medicine, because that was the first time that I had been recommended to be on something. And he was like, no, you're not doing that. You're going to try anything and everything else. You're going to try everything before you try that. And you know what? I did. I tried every single thing that I could do. And I can sit here and say that I did try everything, that this was the last thing to do, and that I wish I would have done it sooner. Like, if I could go back, I would have done it sooner. And so, anyways, I hope that this helps someone. I really need to wrap this up. I can't believe that I've actually been talking for a whole hour, but I really hope that this helps someone, and that if there's anybody out there that hears this and they feel like they need to talk to somebody, please reach out. Like, I would love to talk to anybody about my experience, and I would love to hear from you guys and just like what you're going through. Like, you're not alone, and guess what? You're not crazy. And you're doing amazing, and you're a really amazing mom, and you're a really amazing friend, and you're a really amazing sister, or whatever it is. And I believe in you guys, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please like, share, comment, rate, review. We won't be on YouTube this week, but you can go back and you can watch our old YouTubes and just tell a friend about us. Yeah, tell a friend. We love you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.